KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com. Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
It's shaping up to be another devastating year for communities on the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers that used to rely on king and chum salmon as the mainstay of their diet. Salmon advocates want to change the Magnuson-Stevens Act, the nation's primary fishery law, so that federal fisheries managers give more consideration to subsistence salmon fishermen. Congresswoman Mary Peltola campaigned on it. Now, though, she acknowledges Congress is unlikely to approve changes to the law this year or next. So she and other salmon advocates are trying a different avenue, reshaping the law already on the books. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Salmon advocates point fingers at the ocean-going trawl fleet. The trawlers catch thousands of king and chum salmon in the Bering Sea in their nets by accident as they fish for pollock. It's called bycatch. Meanwhile, along the Yukon, native communities that have relied on salmon for thousands of years weren't allowed to catch a single Chinook for the dinner table last year or the year before. Peltola says it's galling.
I think that we should be having honest conversations about the fact that it seems like subsistence fishermen are getting zero consideration, and there is zero thought about the management implications when they are getting 0% of the resource.
Peltola, speaking in a recent video call arranged by a fisheries consulting firm, said she'd still like to change the law to put two Alaska tribal representatives on the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, among other amendments, but she doesn't think that's realistic anytime soon. Instead, she's looking at what are called national standards set in the Magnuson-Stevens Act and hopes to change how they're interpreted.
If the only change we can make in the 118th Congress is to take another look at these national standards, we've got to do it, and we've got to do it now.
Those national standards are like fundamental management commandments. They say things like fish allocations must be fair and equitable, and bycatch must be minimized to the extent practicable. Those are refined by guidelines, and now the National Marine Fisheries Service has announced it's begun revising three of those guidelines.
Oh, it's totally wonky.
Yeah. Hannah Heimbuch knows how dry this sounds. She's a commercial salmon fisherman and policy consultant. Heimbuch says it's not a quick fix, but changing the guidelines can reset the priorities for the North Pacific Fishery Management Council so that it's more responsive to nearshore and in-river fishermen.
I think that it's an opportunity to kind of be frank about some of the ways that the management plans as they exist now aren't able to manage bycatch in a way that is sustainable in the long term.
The amount of salmon in terms of numbers relative to the numbers of pollock we catch is de minimis.
Brett Payne is the executive director of United Catcher Boats, representing about 70 trawlers working in the Bering Sea, Aleutians, and Gulf of Alaska. He says the Bering Sea fleet is already successful at limiting bycatch.
For us to catch 1.2 million metric tons of pollock and to only catch 6 to 9,000 Chinook, we say we've done a pretty good job.
6,000 to 9,000 Chinook. Payne acknowledges it sounds like a lot to Yukon fishermen when they can't catch any. But he says research shows a lot of those fish weren't bound for the YK Delta, and not every fish was going to survive to maturity anyway. He says trawl bycatch is not to blame for the collapse of Western Alaska salmon runs. Salmon advocates say several factors are harming salmon populations, chiefly climate change. But they say that makes it even more important to take action where possible, like against bycatch. The National Marine Fisheries Service said in a Federal Register announcement that it's accepting public comment on new guidelines through September 12th. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Ice fishing is winding down in the Northwest Arctic, and after a successful season, many residents have freezers full of sheafish. The large whitefish is a staple food in the region, and right now the population is healthy. But as KOTZ's Desiree Hagen reports, scientists say permafrost thaw could hurt the future of this abundant fish.
Lance Kramer describes himself as an avid outdoorsman. The 52-year-old loves traditional methods of hunting, fishing, and trapping. His home is right next to the ice where many Kotzebue residents fish for sheafish. It gives Kramer a bird's-eye view to gauge when the fish are coming in.
So I get to watch every day, you know, out my window. My barometer is binoculars. So I just look out the window, and if they're pulling them up, then it's time to go. If they're not, stay in and drink coffee.
Sheafish, or simply sea, are a whitefish found only in certain waterways in the northern hemisphere. In Alaska, they are found in the Yukon and Kuskokwim drainage areas. In the northwest Arctic, their spawning grounds are located along the Kobuk and Selawik rivers. Here, the individual sheafish are significantly larger than their counterparts elsewhere in the state.
This whole region is incredibly blessed. As many sheafish as we have and as big as sheafish as we have, we're extremely blessed people.
For Kramer and other people living in the region, sheafish are an important food source. Sheafish are long. A single fish can measure 3.5 feet and weigh 60 pounds. One fish is enough to provide several meals to a large family. Right now, it's easy to catch a freezer full of sheafish, but scientists are concerned about the effects warming water could have for the abundant fish. For locals, it could mean a decline in one of their more reliable subsistence resources.
Especially with the shortage of caribou that most people are experiencing. And when you don't have any caribou in your freezer all year long, you know, sheafish is a huge reprieve. It's really nice to have it.
Although not a commercial fish, sheafish is a staple food for many in the Northwest Arctic and are valued for their taste. Kramer says it's one of his favorites.
But sheafish has flavor. Sheafish has oil, you know. Sheafish is sweet. Man, I'll tell you, there's so many ways to eat them. You know, it's like Forrest Gump, you know. It's like, remember we talked about the shrimp?
Kramer, like many people in the region, fishes using a combination of traditional methods with modern equipment. He travels by snow machine to a spot on the ice where fresh and salt water meet. He uses an auger to drill a 10-inch hole into the ice. He says during the winter, sheafish stay in the warmer, fresh water, occasionally venturing into the cold marine water to hunt for their next meal.
It's a pretty interesting thing to learn. Sheafish is a science, really.
To catch sheafish, he uses a jig, a bent handle about a foot long with a line and hook attached. Sheafish is typically done with a jig or a net, not the rod and reel used by many sports fishermen. Kramer uses the Inupiaq words for his jig.
Yeah, we have sticks and sometimes walrus bones for the olashrone. Olashrone is the stick, and I think Nipitak is the string, and of course the Niksik, the hook.
Kramer says he's addicted to the tug, that initial feeling of hooking a sheafish on the line.
That tug, just boom. It's a direct connection between the energy of that huge, incredible sheafish and your hand. It's the energy.
But sheafish could be threatened by warming Arctic temperatures. Bill Carter works as a fish biologist for the Selawik National Wildlife Refuge based in Kotzebue. His focus is on water chemistry. He's worked for the last 8 years studying a potential threat to sheafish. It's called the
permafrost thaw slum. So it's basically a big mudslide where a south-facing slope, it's high water content or ice-rich permafrost, and that has started to thaw, and the water turned all this, what used to be, you know, firm ground into mud, basically wet concrete.
He says when this happens, the water becomes cloudy and full of sediment. Essentially, the sediment suffocates the eggs of spawning sheafish. He says there have been several slumps in the region. One that he observed along the Selawik River, about 10 miles upriver from sheafish spawning grounds, was massive.
Over 500,000 cubic meters, which is basically a 25-story building with a footprint the size of a football field. That's what's come out of it. So it's big. It's really big, you know, over a half mile across.
Carter says there are several more permafrost thaw slumps in the area. Sheafish are a long-lived fish. It takes 7 years for them to reach sexual maturity, which means threats to spawning could have longer-lasting repercussions. Kramer has the same concerns as the biologist. He believes that along with warming waters and harmful algal blooms, the permafrost thaw slump will pose a threat to sheafish in the future.
It's no small thing. These are some serious things. Now, can we do anything about a slump? No. You can't clean up silt, you know?
Carter and a group of scientists are planning a 2-year project this summer to study how recent thaw slumps have affected sheafish populations. In Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagen.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.